Okay, awesome.
Oh, I'm just going to introduce the speaker. Welcome to the Sunday Night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. So, welcome, Sarah B.
Thank you so much, Jen M. Thanks, everybody, for having me here. I'm Sarah B. I am a recovered compulsive overeater just for today. I have about 14 months right now of continuous abstinence, and I'm maintaining a 75-pound weight loss. Not in this, it didn't all happen in the last 14 months, but in the last 4 years. Okay. Well, I just want to say that I invite the spirit in. I invite source in to speak through me, and I just pray that I will say something that makes sense to somebody and reaches somebody who needs to hear it. Fairly new at speaking at meetings, and usually I get going a little rough, and then once I'm going, I'm just really going. So I'm gonna try to just all right. So a couple things came to me that I felt like Source wanted me to say. It's like one thing when we were reading the steps, I heard loud and clear, like, I didn't know how unmanageable my life was until, and it's become more clear in retrospect how unmanageable my life was. I knew that my food was unmanageable, but more and more, it has been revealed to me as I get saner and saner, because people say in program, come for the vanity, stay for the sanity. Well, I just came to get thin. I didn't come to like get sane because I didn't know that I was insane. But now that the clearer I get, the calmer I get, the more in touch with the higher power I get, the more I get this new way of living that I didn't even know I needed. And it's just been a beautiful way of life. And I'm learning to sit with discomfort. I used to think that I was in touch with my emotions because I was emotional. This is part of the unmanageability thing. I was emotional, and that meant that I understood my emotions, but I didn't understand my emotions. In fact, how it was for me is that anytime I felt some sort of discomfort, I just had to go to the grocery store. That's it. I just had to eat something. Of course. Like that was the answer. That's all that was true. Food for me has always been the unsolvable problem of my life. I was able to keep it under control for certain periods of time, but that's just it. It was just like trying to manage it and white knuckle it. My mother was and I bonded over binging. And, for me, it was either like I was on some intense health kick or I was binging. It wasn't until I got, and then if I had a bad breakup or a difficult life circumstance, I would just stop being able to kind of control it and I would put on 50, 60 pounds, like nothing, like just breathing. And then just never able to get out of it. I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis 25 years ago, and that was a moment of wake up for me that that's when I went on a very serious health kick. And that's when I thought I had the food thing licked. I was like 100% raw foodist for 7 years. And I at this point I think that was helpful for the disease because here it is 25 years later and I'm pretty much have had benign MS for all this time, and that was a good thing. But it didn't actually solve my compulsive overeating thing, because then I was like overeating on dates and coconuts and whatever, things that were supposedly healthy or fruit or whatever, and then throwing that up. And I was still crazy with food. But I picked up, I ate something off that plan, and I what I and then I immediately couldn't get back on. Like I thought I had food figured out. But I didn't know anything of the allergy of the body. I didn't know anything of the obsession of the mind. I didn't know understand the addiction part of it. I was still just trying to go by my own solutions. So, I had this thing that I thought worked, and then I was completely locked out of it after one bite, and I didn't understand why. And then it was 10 years. 10 years of like eating my way through Manhattan and unable to control food, unable to get back on. I've been in and out of OA for since, for also probably that same amount of time, 25, 30 years. But it wasn't until the pandemic that I came back. And what drove me to it was I had put on quite a bit of weight. This is 10 years after breaking the raw food thing. And my life at the, I was caregiving for my father. I was very stressed out, and like food was my release. That was the only release. That was the release. And so basically, I got to the point where my life was controlled by cookies. I get sort of hesitant to go too much into the before times kind of thing because I could spend forever there. But, a lot of behaviors that I'm sure that you understand, it's like the car driving itself, like just driving to bakeries, grocery stores against my own will, just having to do it, like this insurmountable demand from my body that I go and get these certain foods. Towards the end of my eating career at this time, it was like shooting crack in a parking lot. It was like eating cookies in a parking lot and just getting high. And just like no one should get that high. Like I just would get high. I have an abnormal reaction to sugar, and it was very shameful and very very draining, and I felt like I had no control over it. I did not want to be eating these things. I would think I'd get like 3 days of sort of control, quote unquote, and then it would be Thanksgiving, and I'd be like, oh, I can have one just like everybody else. And I could at Thanksgiving. Yeah, I could at Thanksgiving. But then the next day I'd be like, oh, well, that went so well. Like I could do it again. And then, oh, that went so well. Let me try it a bunch. And then all of a sudden I'm binging and I'm sick. And how did I get here? And that cycle was, just had gotten to the point where it got so bad that I asked for help, because that's what happens. Enough pain happens that sometimes we are become willing. Sometimes through pain we become willing, and I became willing to ask for help from someone who had kind of offered a 12-step solution like maybe a year beforehand, and I had been like totally insulted. I was just like, I don't have a problem with food. Like, what are you saying? I'm fat or whatever? Because I was dysmorphic in the sense of like, I was really big, but I didn't see it myself that way. So it was kind of strange. So anyway, I asked for help and somebody gave me a food plan. And during this period, I then spent about 3 years very seriously in OA, working the steps, the big book way, and everything. And what would happen was I had a lot of miracles in that 3 year period. I lost weight, not all of it, but I lost a lot of weight. I got food neutral. I learned how to eat. No one had ever taught me how to eat. I didn't know how to eat. I was either just eating too much or starving and not eating enough. And like, I never knew how to like have even blood sugar throughout the day. What a miracle. And that came from doing a weighed and measured food plan. Now, I know that not everybody needs to do that, but I needed to do that. But my thing was like, I wanted to get in and get out. I didn't want to stay here. I didn't want to have to do all these things that everybody was telling me to do like forever. I was like, well, I just want to, kind of get thin and then go on. I just want to get what I need and leave. And so I kept doing that for 3 years. I kept on doing, getting food neutral and then thinking I got this. Well, the big book tells us that, we follow this delusion that we're going to be normal eaters to the gates of insanity and even death. And that was me. I just kept on. I couldn't change the fact that I thought that I was really a normal eater, that I just needed to learn how to eat something. And I was just doing these steps kind of like, 'cause like as a fix. Finally, in April of 2021, that's when I saw I was supposed to have like a surgery, a breast reduction surgery, and I thought I was I didn't have a sponsor at the time because I had my sponsor had picked up. So I thought, well, this is a time when maybe I could try the raw foods again. I don't have a sponsor. I'm sponsor free, so I can just go and try things on my own. So I tried to be abstinent in what I thought was abstinence, and I put on 16 pounds, like nothing. And that was when I realized, like, okay, you know what? I can't trust my thinking. I cannot trust my thinking around food. I got a new sponsor and I decided that I was going to work the steps. And I knew that this sponsor worked the steps really thoroughly, really, really thoroughly with Big Book, AA 12 and 12, and OA 12 and 12, and lots of writing. And I'm a writer and I respond to things through writing. And I was like, I had a little bit of willingness. I could see that I was delusional. And I was like, okay, I'm ready. I left a memorial service at church where I had been helping out with my pockets stuffed with food. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'm still nutty. So this is what I really want to talk about. That's that all that stuff. Now people say, why is my mind going blank on the whole thing? I mean, half measures avail us nothing. Well, half measures did avail me something. I had, in that 3 year period, gotten familiar with the Big Book. I was used to going to vision meetings on time. Every day I was going to really good Big Book meetings. I was meditating half an hour a day. I was doing outreach regularly. I was building some muscle with the program. I was developing a fertile soil. I think that, it's like we don't know when the miracle is going to happen sometimes. Sometimes we just have to like kind of tend the garden. And then in April of 2024, that seemed to be the moment when I was ready to go full out, full measures, not just half measures, full measures. And I started again on the eclipse, April 8th. And I realized this time that I was going to have to put the words into, okay, so I see a 3 minute here. What does this mean? Does this mean 3 minutes to halfway through? I don't know. Three
Yes,
minutes.
out of 15.
Okay, great. Thank you. Okay. I'm gonna just take a breath here. So, April 7th, my new sponsor asked, I had binged on sugar-free chocolate that day. And my sponsor asked me, what was I not willing to turn over to God? And I had a resentment. I had been through a breakup and I was furious about the way that it ended. It had been a year, but I still had a very huge resentment. And when I say resentment, I don't mean an irritation. I mean like my body was racked with it. And I realized that in order for me to recover, to fully surrender to recovery, that I was going to have to surrender that, and that I was going to have to be with that and work with that and turn it over and stop running from that, even if it was just burning pain. I had a food plan, but I wasn't doing all of the things. I realized that I could improve it. So this time through the steps, what I decided was I'm going to look at everything that I have not been willing to do, because this is my fifth time through. So I was like, I'm gonna look for what I have not been willing to do, and I'm gonna be willing to do it. And I realized through my trial and error that there had been foods that were yellow foods that were, should be red foods, things, I'm gonna name some things, for me, it was things like cheese and roasted nuts and alcohol and diet soda and things like that that I had sort of still been messing around with. And I realized that I needed to let all of that go. Anything that I was still flirting with, anything that I was still, and it's different for everybody, right? We all have different things in this program that we can have and can't have. But I needed to concede to my innermost self that I could not have those foods. This was part of my step one. If I was going to really do this, go in for full measures, like 100% surrender. I saw that I was going to have to make some changes to surrendering that. I worked through the steps very thoroughly. And okay, so I have 15 minutes. And I decided what I wanted to do as I read the material was to put things into my own words and really speak it to myself instead of doing it as a college assignment. Speak it to myself in my own language because my disease speaks to me in my own language. My disease speaks to me in ways that like fool me all the time. Like, you can have a little bit of that. Nobody cares. Nobody's looking. Like it's a special occasion, whatever. My disease is very subtle and speaks to me in very tricky language. And so I was going to learn to speak the steps to myself. Not that somebody else said it. So for step one, even though these are things that I didn't make up, they are things that I tell myself is like, I understand that I'm not a normal eater. I had to confront that my thinking about food is not normal. I lack proportion. When I downplay this illness and I tell myself it's not a big deal, that lacks proportion. I have obsessional thinking around food. I that is just it's just not normal, and I'm never going to be a normal eater. I went to a birthday party and they had the main thing, the main event, the main sugar item, and everyone was so excited, and I mean this was shortly after this new time or through with recovery. And everybody's so excited about it. And I thought, see, everyone's like me. They're just jonesing, their body's vibrating. We're all freaking out about this thing. Of course, I knew I wasn't going to have it, but I thought, isn't it funny? We're all the same in some ways. But then it came out and everyone had a few bites. A few minutes later, there was plates of it all over the place, half eaten. And I was like, no, see, I'm different. I'm different than them. They can have a few bites of this, whereas I would be eating mine and theirs. I'd be actually over by it, cutting it and giving it to everybody and sneaking it. And then when they gave half of it to take home, I would be the one taking it home. So, I am not, I'm different. Okay. I would eat that thing till I was throwing up. I'm not, I have an illness. I have an illness that requires a spiritual solution. Whatever I am around food, it's not normal. And so I really got to accept full on. I think maybe for the first time in all the times that I worked the steps, I got that I am a separate entity. In my step two, I realized that I needed to seek God, and that even though I was doing a half hour every day of meditation, I needed to have a meaningful connection with God, with Source. And for me, I use language like Source, infinite love, creator of the universe. That's the kind of language that works for me because I was kind of turned off by the, I don't know, by the whole religion thing. That was a block for me. But I deeply, deeply resonate now with the idea of an inner wisdom guide. And I realized that I needed a meaningful contact with that guide every day. And so I took my raw emotions and they were raw. They were raw. I had that resentment. I was screaming the first day of abstinence this time around. No one was around, but I took all that to God, to this. I wrote letters to God and I let God write back. And I started that exchange and that looking for the divinity, being willing to seek. I don't know what it is. It's a mystery. I can't really define it. I don't know how to find it, but I know that my job is to seek. That's what I really got in step two is like, there's something bigger than, there's something out there that can help this illness and it's not me. And I'm going to seek that thing, that energy, and grow with that and form a companionship with that, a companionship with that energy, a conscious companionship. That's what how I view it. And look to see, what does this highest version of me want me to be on a daily basis? So that's how I talk to myself about step two. I'm just going to go through all the steps and tell you how I talk to myself about them. In step three, turning my will and my life over to the care of God, I used to think this is like the cult step, this is where they're gonna like brainwash me or something. And I have to give up my will, but how I talked to myself about it is that it's like the choosing love over being right. Am I going to choose love or am I going to choose righteousness? Am I going to be positional in my thinking about everything, like I think I know, or am I going to be curious and open and bring God in, bring a loving energy in? And what that looks like to me today is I don't have such black and white thinking about things in relationships, I have black and white thinking about food. I have a weighed and measured abstinent food plan, and I don't mess around because that's the only way I have freedom. That's part of my step one. That's real clear for me. But in relationships, I allow ambiguity. I ask God to come in the space of my relationships and come up with solutions that are softer. I'm softening in relationships. And so that is a choice I have to make every day. And I got straight with myself when I got to step three. That's what it's going to mean. It's going to mean the hard thing of letting go of my ego and looking for the loving solution rather than just being right. Oh my gosh, but I say there's so much less suffering in my life now that I've ceased fighting anyone or anything. Oh my gosh, thank goodness. In step four, it was really interesting to me to learn about instincts, to see how I had all of these kind of pushy instincts that had been running my life. And I thought that I was like really wild-hearted and that was like this great thing about me, that I was like impulsive and adventurous and wild-hearted. And that is kind of great in some ways. It is a strength, but it also is something that got me in a lot of trouble. And now I question my urgent impulses. When I have urgent impulses, and I see, to me, I thought that was intuition. That is not intuition for me. For me personally, I am learning how to have a relationship with a higher intuition, with a gentler intuition. A lot of times that wild-heartedness was really my willfulness. And through step four, I sort of got to see that in perspective, And so, and I got compassion that everyone else is just bouncing around in their instincts too, We're all just bouncing around in what we think is right and what our heart is telling us to do and, our own will. And I got compassion for the human condition in that. In step five, I got to see like, oh, we're all like this. I'm not alone in this. Like we all have these like human failings. We're all like these things that I felt shameful about, like my own outbursts or my sense of entitlement or my wanting special treatment, wanting everybody to take care of me, or wanting to control a situation, feeling like I'm not going to be okay if something doesn't go my way, people don't follow my script. In step five, I got to see like, okay, we're all doing that. It's not just me. Like, I don't have to feel terrible about myself that I have these parts, these sort of defects or whatever, we all do. So that's part of the human condition. In step six, I started to, this time around, I really had an opportunity to make a behavior plan for myself. So, like in step one this time, I have to have a food plan. I can't have any of my alcoholic ingredients, in my food. I have to have any all of that totally clear for me to be free. And then, I do food prep. Part of being a compulsive overeater for me is that, and not a normal eater, is that I have to do food prep. I have to do food prep, and I have to, I have to have my food ready. I don't make decisions spontaneously in the moment. I turn in over my food to a sponsor. I don't make, like, my disease will get in there. So I need a plan, but then it's not enough to just have a plan. I need this relationship with a higher power. I need to, like, be free of these defects. So, but I have to do the legwork, and then this energy, this power, this God, this good orderly direction comes in and has removed my food obsession somehow. But then I get to step six and I realize, like, oh my gosh, this is the same thing. Only this is the real deal that I couldn't get to until I was abstinent for a while. The real deal is that I need to be abstinent from these character defects. And so I just like making a food plan, I need to make a behavior plan for how I'm not going to have outbursts with people. And boy, a lot of my behavior plan has to do with meditation. A lot of meditation. I'll tell you that much. It's all newsflash. The whole thing is going to meditation. That's the whole thing of what we're getting to, is step 11 is all this meditation. But I need to be abstinent. For me to stay abstinent from food, I must be abstinent from my defects. I must be abstinent from resentments. I must be abstinent from entitlement, that things go my way, from pushing my way, from outbursts with people. That was the thing for me, because I didn't know how to express my emotions. I'm learning in recovery how to say, I don't like that. That doesn't work for me. Because before I would just bottle it up and then explode. Well, that's not an option for me today. I don't get to make a mess all over people like that. Yeah. 5 minutes. Okay, thank you. So I need a behavior plan. And in and then I ask God in step seven to, thank you, to remove that. And I made a personal plan, and a lot of times I'll say the seven step prayer and I'll add on to it my own interpretations of, please, please remove this and replace it with this, because I have to ask, I have to be humble, and I have to ask God in, because otherwise I'm just going it alone. In step eight, another something that was different for me in this final time, that, I mean, this is what worked for me, is like I realized step eight has two parts to it. It's make a list of people I had harmed and became ready to make amends to them. So I had ignored that became ready part. And it's like, oh, okay, yeah, there's forgiveness work here that has to get done. There is work to be done on understanding what even is forgiveness. Because if I go into somebody and I make an amend to them, but I'm really, like, still in my heart really blaming them, it's not a real amend. It's not. I need to amend my behavior. So this person, I'll just say, so step nine, I consider the fireworks step. Okay, that's where, like, the God shots start coming in, and God shots for me are like huge bursts of relief, a sense of relief, a sense of oh, the cool, clean wind of the mountaintop blowing through and through. That is what I experienced in step one and step nine. And in step nine, I will say, like, it's interesting, as I was doing step nine, this person that I was resenting so much in the beginning, show we didn't have a time to meet. I just ran into them. I ran into him at a store, and we had tea, and I had an opportunity to say to him, not, I've been so mad at you, but I'm really sorry. I really regret that I didn't make it safe enough for you to stay close to me. And, I felt like he was moved by that, and it felt like one of those God shots for me. It was a release for me, and I could feel gratitude again for what we had shared, and I just took my part. In step 10, to me, what that means is that I'm looking for my part every day. I'm looking for, it's so easy for me to go into blaming other people for my upsets, for my resentments, for what's wrong with me, what I'm feeling. But step 10 for me is every day looking for my part in it. How am I, what am I holding? Am I setting a boundary? Am I having the hard conversations? Am I being too demanding? I have to look for what I'm bringing, how I'm setting up the situation. Step 11 is, and I know I'm moving quickly here, but we're almost done. To me, meditation is like making a new friend. In the beginning, it's like, do I even like you? Like, I don't, it's sort of like awkward. Like, I don't want to do this. Like, But if you hang out with it long enough and stay with it, and there's lots of things to do. There's guided meditations. There's, journaling. I do a lot of two-way prayer. Then all of a sudden it's like, it can be like hanging out with a great friend, someone you've been friends with for a long time. It's like, oh, thank God I could be myself with you, and we could just hang out, and I could tell you everything. And, I can just, that has been the ease and comfort. That has been what has replaced the food for me. 100% is meditation. I hate to say it, because in the beginning I'd be like, oh, that's a terrible solution. That's no cookie. But it's like, but that is the ease and comfort. It doesn't come as fast as the other stuff, but it's like, it is there for me. It is my safe place. I have a special chair, and it is where I sit and I talk to God, and I just let all the feelings drain through me, and I breathe, and I have peace in that chair. And I'll just say quickly about step 12. If I wasn't sponsoring, I would go back in the food immediately. Like, I sponsor, and my sponsees take me out of myself. And that is how I'm able to hang on to it now. There's many times I'd go into self-pity that I don't have to, because I get out of myself. And that's a lot of what this ends up being, is about interrupting the self and not allowing myself to stay in places like self-pity and resentment and remorse. I can't stay, hang out in those places. They come, but I don't hang out there anymore. They show up in my body, but I move through them with 10 steps, by getting out of myself, by being of service to others, by and by knowing that I'm not a normal eater. I have to do that food prep. I have to do all that legwork. I have to do these behavior plans. But then when I do, and I just do my meditations, and all this stuff becomes easy. It's like going into the fourth dimension, and it all becomes simple. I don't mean it's hard work, but for some reason in the beginning I resisted it. But as I have come to do it every day, I mean, making calls and being on meetings and sponsoring and doing the food stuff and turning it over, all of it has become a way of life that is joyous, and I get freedom out of it, and I don't have to be enslaved to my feelings, or to the
That's
food.
time.
And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share with you.